All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Better Little Never.
Yes.
I'm not actually inside a women's prison at the moment.
I'm going to go ahead and turn the intro down and just get started. We got a lot of podcasts to do. There's an Oilers game coming up. The very last game at Mullet Arena, I should also add. I was there in February. It was a lot of fun. Sad to see that the Coyotes, this is their last ever game as a franchise, at least until they rekindled things. Who knows how long from now. Either way, we're going to get started with it. We're going to save a shout out to the audio department. Of course, theaudiodepartment.ca is where you can book some studio time. The audio department works to create a safe space for creativity and collaboration for artists and musicians to realize their potential through sound and story. I've talked about it a bunch of times. I am an artist. That fits in where they say artists and musician to realize their potential and share their message through sound and story. I fall under the artist bucket. So says me and no one else, right? Of course. There you go. The audio department, book some studio time, record a podcast, record an album, whatever you like to do. Go on in there. They will make your art, in this case, my podcast, sound good. Thank you. Where do we begin? A little preamble before we get to the actual show. I'm going to start off with a little reality show talk. And how many of you are watching Survivor or still watch Survivor? I was trying to think back on this because I started watching Survivor when the show first came on back in the early aughts. Whenever it was, I don't really remember now. Hadn't watched it since. I'm going to say I probably watched the dick out guy, Richard Hatch. And then I watched the second season with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who I was in love with at the time, only to have her go on to be a conservative mouthpiece on Fox News. Wild to watch, actually. And I think that's where I tapped out. Maybe season 3, maybe 4, but somewhere in that general vicinity, that's where I tapped out. Haven't considered watching Survivor again until recently because me misses. Every Wednesday, she's watching it, and your boy will wander through the living room. Maybe I'll have a little peeky at the TV. Maybe I'll be wandering over to the kitchen, try to get myself a snack, a little manche. And I look, I was like, holy fuck, is that Jeff Probst? He's still on there, right? And seeing her into it, I kind of started getting into it. But I also think it helps that I looked up how much Jeff Probst makes. And I was like, man, Jeff Probst must be making a killing doing this show. If you ever look at a host of game shows, They always make so much money that it doesn't make sense. Yesterday at Nation HQ, which would have been Tuesday, we were recording Oilers Nation Radio, and Rick and I just got to talking about Pat Sajak. He's leaving the Wheel of Fortune. He's leaving us host of Wheel of Fortune, and he's been doing it forever. Arguably one of the easiest gigs in TV. The guy makes $14 million a year to do that. The guy makes $14 million a year. And then I started looking, I was like, I wonder what Jeff Probst makes. Jeff Probst makes about $150K, and depending on what website you read, it varies a little bit, but about $150K US per episode. Isn't the prize on on Survivor $1 million total? Pretty sure it is. So Jeff Probst is like looking at this. I don't know how many episodes in a season there is, but he goes, listen, I make way more than $1 million per season. All you fucking schlubs that got to live out there in the dirt, you're making a milli if you win. Old Jeff Probst is staying in hotels and I make more than that. No slouching. I love it. Also, while I'm recording the podcast today, I'm watching the Jays game. There was a Jays game that started at 1 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. You know how baseball does. And the Oilers went from being up 4-1 to being down 6-4 to the Yankees. And I'm pretty sure most of this happened in the eighth and ninth inning. I've only been half paying attention because I was prepping the podcast, but this is not great. If you've been paying attention to my journey in baseball fandom, this is probably my third season watching the Jays. And I mean, this feels very Oilers-y to me. It's like, okay, well, disappointing. John Schneider making calls, turning red. He's beat red right now. He's not happy. Shout out to all the people that didn't go to work on a Wednesday afternoon to watch the Jays, only to watch them, you know, piss away a lead. That's life as a sports fan, though. That's good sports, isn't it? I think at the end of the day, it's all good sports. It's all good sports. At least to me. I see a lot of sad faces on the Blue Jays bench. Don't blame them in the dugout. Boys, you still got half an inning to go here. Let's pull it together. We'll keep up to date on it. Either way, back to Survivor. I think I might be into it. I don't know anybody's names. I just make up nicknames for them. I'm like, annoying guy with the weird voice, that kind of thing. Funny haircut. I'm working on it. I'm jumping in midway through the season, but I think I'm into it. Especially now that I know Jeff Probst is just raking in cash. I also didn't know that they do two seasons of Survivor per calendar year now. I think that's fucking awesome. Jeff Probst is making a killing. I'm going to go Jeff Probst annual salary. Listed at $8 million a year. Fuck yeah, Jeff Probst. Fuck yes. He gets to go... what is this? Yeah, he makes around $4 million a season, two seasons a year. Jeff Probst has got the gig of a lifetime. He gets to go on these cool vacations. He stays in hotels. All these guys are doing their thing. Back to the other thing that I want to talk about. Big Brother Canada, getting real good. If you like Big Brother USA, you should watch Big Brother Canada because the way they do things is it's like the little brother who's got a lot more mischief, if that makes sense. They had a public vote on Big Brother Canada. I've never seen that before. I don't know if they've ever done it before. I haven't watched every season of BBCan, but like, that was great. I got to sit there and watch a guy cry while everybody voted him out. Vivek, he was just sitting there crying while everyone said his name. They're just like, ah, sorry, Vivek. You're gone, buddy. I love that shit, man. That's good reality. Cause like, again, you know me and my dating shows, all I care about is true love or weird balls. And in Big Brother Canada, I don't know that we're going to get true love. The only showmance has since been split up. It was Lexis who, Ty Guy, told me she was dating Drake, but like young, not so famous Drake. So she was with a guy named Matthew Wong. They just voted him out. All her homegirls voted that guy out. Now she pissed. We're getting some drama. It's good. Anyway, Big Brother Canada, this is another vote for you because I feel like you get disrespected because you're the Canadian version and you've got 45-minute ad breaks every commercial. But again, I've mentioned before, I quite enjoy those. I quite enjoy those. I also enjoy a rap beef. Did everybody hear the Drake response to the Kendrick Lamar verse this week? J. Cole pulled his rebuttal off streaming services. I don't understand why. He made an apology to Kendrick Lamar. Maybe he's just a nice guy. I don't know. I like my rap beef that ends in murder, and I don't think that's going to happen anymore, but at the very least, if I get some good tunes, I'm into it. Drake's latest song was pretty good. Then Rick Ross chimed in. Drake starts beefing with him in Instagram stories. Man, what a modern rap beef this is. We're beefing in Instagram stories. Again, Tupac got shot. Biggie got shot. Tupac got shot on the fucking strip, man. You got shot on the Vegas strip. Now we're talking about Instagram stories. Well, what are you going to do? They can't all be murderous rap beefs. I guess sometimes you do it in Instagram stories with emojis, as Drake did. But when you got a hog as big as his, I guess that's what you do. You know? I guess that's what you do. Before we get to the news, this week's The Big Question. The Big Question! New segment I introduced last week. Again, I'm starting to come up with new segment ideas, so please send me your ideas in the voicemail or just slide into my DMs. I might go to two episodes a week, maybe for next season once the playoff wraps, because, like, you know, the Oilers playoffs are going to start next week. We're going to get super busy. So maybe next season I might go for the two episodes a week. Anyway, I'm spitballing some ideas. I'm workshopping some new segments. And the big question. What if I push this one?
The big question.
Something I pose to you on Twitter and I get your feedback and I read it. So as of tonight, today's Wednesday, April 17th, the Oilers have a chance to either face the Vegas Golden Knights or the Los Angeles Kings in the first round. Both teams each have a game left to play. Vegas is up on Los Angeles by 1 point. They have 98 points. Los Angeles has 97. LA plays Chicago their last game of the year. If LA wins and Vegas loses their last game to Anaheim, LA would jump Vegas, Oilers would play LA. If Vegas wins their last game, it doesn't matter what LA does, Oilers go to Vegas. What is this going to mean for the Oilers? One of the two. So today's
big question.
Presented by NationGear.ca. New playoff gear is up, including the Oil Up tees for the postseason. Go check those out. My personal favorite, though, the Live Laugh La Bamba t-shirt and hoodie. I bought both of them. They look so good. They look so, so good. I love me a floral pattern for the summer, you know? But the
big question
presented by NationGear.ca is, who would you rather face in round one? The Vegas Golden Knights or the Los Angeles Kings, and why? And unsurprisingly, you guys gave me a bunch of really, really good answers and the why. My boy Captain Felton, he starts it off and he just goes, let's take out Vegas early. Barry says, well, I think Vegas is going to be a harder matchup. You got to slay the dragon at some point, so why not start earlier than later? My guy of Gary, who won a BLTN hoodie last week, Oilers are orange and blue in my veins, I should say. You have to slay the dragon. We have beaten LA twice now. The Oilers need to beat Vegas and Colorado on their way to the final. Rob Park says, I'd prefer LA as I think we have their number for years and Vegas got us last season. That said, if we have to go through Vegas, I'd rather face them now than in the second or third round when they get going. Tyson says, I side with Gazdik. Luke Gazdik, of course, guest on Oilers Nation every day. Knock out the champs early while they're still down. Don't want to let Vegas gain any momentum. Chris says beating Vegas would be great redemption for a year ago. B-mother. Says, I think there's a greater chance the Oilers take the Kings lightly. Even if they beat the Kings, what does it prove? Beating Vegas, though, that would springboard a long-term run. Mike says, Vegas, get it over with while they're still banged up. We'll see. Like Mark Stone obviously practicing, third year in a row they've done this shtick. Of course, 3 years ago Mark Stone went to the LTIR. Vegas missed the playoffs. They didn't get the chance for the Undertaker at WrestleMania moment where he pops out of the coffin. Last year Vegas did what they did. This year they're doing it again. How bad is Mark Stone? Who knows? A ruptured spleen sounds painful. Have we all been doing our anatomy homework to find out where a spleen is? I have no idea. I hope Corey Perry does, if you know what I'm saying. Chris says, it doesn't matter. The Oilers are better than both teams. Assuming decent goaltending, non-absurd puck luck, they should beat either. Not really the question. Thanks for chiming in. Eagles and Oilers said LA because the Oilers can beat them without going through a war and would have more left for the second round and beyond. Alex says, an LA three-peat would be incredible. But I think if the team can beat Vegas in the first round and come out unscathed, it would be huge. Got to beat the best to be the best. Larry says, I have goaltending concerns. We could beat either team this time around if our goaltending holds up. Anna says, I want LA because we've played them during the year and have been successful. The last Vegas win was good for the ego, but not the team we will face in the playoffs. I fear we will go in overconfident and get caught with our pants down. Working through the big question for nationgear.ca.
The big question.
Matt says, Vegas will be much more difficult series, but we can beat them. I choose Vegas to prepare us for the gauntlet that is the Western Conference. S. Kravitz says, Vegas, slay the dragon, prove the rest of the league that we're a contender and going for the cup this year, no matter who gets in our way. Biff, shout out to Biff, big fan of Back to the Future, says, Vegas, to be the man, you got to beat the man. A lot of that coming in the comments on this one. Noah says, I have more confidence against LA because of our track record. However, Vegas is a very good team, and if the players coming back from injury fit back in, well, then that's going to be a pretty damn hard series. They won last year for a reason. That was from Noah. Jerry says, Vegas, get at them when they are still LTIR. Well, hang on. Back up, Bagmo. Back up. Vegas, get at them when all their, wrong there, LTIR players are getting back into the swing of things and not in a flow state. A lot of that, too. Guys are not having played in game action. It's a little bit different, so get at them while you can. Chad says, Vegas, bring it on. Slay the dragon. Double A says, Vegas, I want to see Perry make Mark Stone cry. Stacy says, LA because they're goaltending, but maybe we should just take on LV in round one, boot him out, move on. Matt says, Vegas, got to conquer your fears on the journey to greatness. I love all of these.
The big question for nationgear.ca
continues. Kelly says, give me the champs. Beat them and our confidence will skyrocket. We used to have to play against a tougher opponent in the Smythe final and the rest of the playoffs were relatively easy. Bring it on. Going back in the day. Jeff says, Vegas, you have to beat, to be the best, you got to beat the best. LA versus Vancouver because LA matches up very well against Van. I could see an upset there. Shannon says, I feel like LA is losing on purpose because they don't want to face Edmonton. They're ducking. True Oil fan says, honestly, LA, because I know we have their number, but I'd be more than happy to see our team sweep the Masters of exploitation, I should say, and shove it in their faces. Three straight years, near identical circumstances, same player. Need I say more? Exploitation is cheating. Chris Heaven says, thinking about it the last couple of days, and I think it's Vegas, primarily because would rather play Vegas before Stone gets up and running. If that makes any sense. Hockey Stan says, Vegas, LA always seems to leave us with injuries. They are dirty. A lot of rats. If Tyler was here, I would ask him to consult the rat list, but he is in Arizona getting set for tonight's game at Mullet Arena. Derek says, LA is definitely the answer, but a good point was made by a guest on Oilers Nation Every Day that if Stone returns, you want to play him ASAP before he gets up and rolling. Also, the gambler's fallacy says we will eventually lose to LA if we keep playing them. Austin says, Vegas, slay the beast. OJ says, we lost to Vegas because we shot ourselves in the foot. We could have beaten them last year. We can beat them this year if we don't beat ourselves. Daddy G says, Vegas, either way, we need to play them. Slay the dragon. Rusty the Reckless Optimist says, give me either of them. Oilers in six, no matter what. Run on trails. Well, at least you're sticking to the trails. Run on trail says LA because we could beat him. Patrick says, job's not done, job's not finished. I don't know what that means. He's contributing. Cedric says, Vegas because I know we could beat the Kings in seven after being a little banged up. More scared of Vegas because their playoff team don't reflect the regular season team. I would rather play LA despite their intent to injure us every time they play. That one's from Raj. Demon Dad says, give me Vegas. Round one is better than two or three, given the injured few players get more time to get into game shape. Additionally, I can only imagine the redemption the boys want against the Golden Knights. Tyler says, Kings. Vegas is hurt, and they'll absolutely get thumped by Dallas first round. Kings have Talbot and aging Doughty. It makes it easy on us. There is no easy series in the playoffs, people. We know this. Steven says, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Nick just says, whoever's next, we could beat anyone. Jake says, Vegas, because I'm bored of watching LA. There you go. The big, big question. Chime in on social. I'm going to be asking these from time to time when there's something in my mind that I would just like your help with. And that for nationgear.ca
is the big question.
Now let's get to the news. The news brought to you by Star Mechanical. Of course, Star Mechanical is one of Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating businesses. They've been working within the community for over 20 years. Many of the homes built in Edmonton over the last two decades have had their plumbing and heating installed by Star Mechanical. Go to starmechanical.ca to schedule an appointment. Have them help you keep your home running smoothly. Of course, they offer 24/7 emergency services as well. Going to kickstart the news with a shout out to our boy Connor McDavid, who hit the 100 assist plateau milestone on Monday against the lowly San Jose Sharks. Shout out to Connor. Connor had missed the three games leading up to that game because he's just, you know, he's a little banged up. He's got the LBI, the lower body injury, what that is. Who knows? 3 days off kind of worked out the way I was talking about on Oilers Nation Radio on Friday, where you just go, look, you look at the schedule. Yes, it's nice to have the division, but when they lost on Friday, the Coyotes, you kind of go, fuck it. Who cares if he plays on Saturday against Canucks? Who gives a shit? I know Canucks fans are all horny and hot and bothered about the way that they swept the Oilers season. But ultimately, I don't think it means a whole lot, given that the first three games of the series kind of came at a time when the Oilers were garbage.
You're just making up excuses because the Vancouver Canucks are the greatest team on earth. They clinched the division. They are the best. There's no stopping the Canucks.
What if they faced the Kings? Didn't the Canucks get run over by the Kings all season?
Yes, you can say that the Canucks got ran over by the Kings. They can't manage the 1-3-1. They don't know how to play against the trap because all the Canucks do is score off the rush. Surely that won't be a problem in the playoffs when everything tightens up, will it? Either way, I don't want to face the LA Kings because I think the Canucks have trouble against the trap.
Well, Quads, that might happen, my friend. That very well could happen. Or you got Nashville.
Nashville is the worst team in the playoffs. I fear not the Nashville Predators.
What about UC Saros? He could probably steal a game or two.
No, he can't. The only goalie I care about is Thatcher Demko. Thatcher.
All right. Back to the Oilers. McDavid hit 100 assists against the Sharks on Monday. What was interesting to me is it was just kind of funny. Obviously, we know that the game ended in a 9-2 score. Just an absolute shit kicking of the San Jose Sharks. Connor McDavid, 13 seconds into his first shift of the game, goes to pass to Zach Hyman for what looked like a tap-in, hits a San Jose Shark defender, goes in the net. I have never, ever, I don't think, seen a player look more annoyed that they had scored at the NHL level. Are you with me? When Connor scored that goal, he kind of like looked around like, ah, shit. Well, I guess I'll take it. His fly by the bench was funny. He didn't smile, didn't raise a hand. He just kind of beelined it. He thought he had that 100th assist. But then another funny part happened was eight goals happened between Connor's goal and when he finally picked up the 100th assist on Zach Hyman's 54th of the year. And it just made me laugh that there was eight goals between Connor's goal and Hyman's goal where he didn't get an assist on anything. Everybody was getting something like it was an Oprah Winfrey giveaway, and yet Connor couldn't get that assist that he desperately needed until a little toe drag, a little backdoor tap in. Zachary Martin Hyman makes Connor McDavid the fourth player in NHL history to get 100 assists in a single season. Wayne Gretzky, of course, did it 11 times. All in a row. Can you believe that? It's one of those ones where you go, Wayne Gretzky got 100 assists in a row, or 100 assists 11 times, and everybody goes, yeah, that's cool. And then you go, but do you know he did it in a row? In a row. It's ridiculous. Wayne, your numbers make no sense to me. It's like there was you were training for a league better than the NHL when you were playing in this league, you know? The other milestone that happened against the Sharks was Evan Bouchard became the first Oilers defenseman to hit 80-plus points in a season since Paul Coffey did it in 1986. Now, at $3.9 million this year and next, Evan Bouchard is going to be a steal, given the offense he's putting up from the back end. 81 points on the year now for Dad. 81 points at $3.9 million. You go, man, that is a steal. But all I can think about is, what is it going to look like when he's up for an extension? What are we thinking? Is it 10? Is it 11? Can you get him under 10? I don't know. He's still going to be a restricted free agent, so I guess there's some semblance of the Oilers having a leg to stand on here. Some leverage, I should say. But like, let's be honest. That guy is going to get paid. He is going to get paid. He is going to get paid. Mm-hmm. What do you think it comes in at? Hit me up. Drop me a little note in the voicemail or hit me up on socials. What is Evan Bouchard's next contract going to look like? I'm going to say 10.25. A lot of people are going to be angry. That's what I'm going to say. Am I right? Of course I am. The other thing that happened this week, Philip Broberg was recalled for the Bakersfield Condors. He is in tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. The team wants to get him a couple of looks before the regular season ends. Makes perfect sense. So Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci are coming out. We got Broberg and Stetcher going in. So tonight's game, tomorrow's game, really mean nothing for the Oilers. They can't move up. They can't move down. Doesn't matter whether they win or lose on their opponent. That's all up to the opponent, potential opponents. We'll see what happens. But the interesting part about it is that we're going to see how they look. A couple of meaningless games. Makes sense to get Broberg again. The other news that broke this morning, Darnell Nurse was nominated, the Oilers nominee for the King Clancy Memorial Trophy. That one goes to the player who displays excellence on and off the ice. The exact definition, let me read it for you. Courtesy of NHL.com, the King Clancy Memorial Award goes to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made a noteworthy humanitarian contribution in his community. There's no doubt that Darnell Nurse does that. He is a very, very community-focused young man. Always love to see it, too. The kids love getting to interact with the players. It means so much to them. And kudos to guys like Darnell Nurse for always be willing to do it. Shout out to Darnell. Of course, I mentioned earlier, the Oilers can't move up or down. That's because they lost to the Canucks four times this season. Four times. And that just kind of locked Vancouver in that spot.
I love watching the Oilers behind the Canucks, given that nobody's swinging at them, and I'm going to burst with joy. If I thought about it anymore, I might burst into a cloud of glitter. Oh, Quads is excited. This is where Big Dave comes to play. Big Dave is feeling spicy.
Those four losses ultimately pinned the Oilers in second place, but even just seeing them in second place is hilarious because we know that they started at, what, 5-9-1 or something crazy like that to kick off the year? Worse than that, 2-9-1, something like that. Either way, seeing them get home ice for the first round at the very least is amazing. Shout out to the comeback. Chris Knobloch deserves some love for the Jack Adams. I'm going to say it again. Did I bet on him at plus 6,000, just a couple of shekels, just to see what could happen? Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. Vancouver also waiting to see who they play in the first round. On the other side, we got a Boston-Toronto matchup, and it was kind of fun last night on Twitter, looking around and seeing Leafs fans freaking out about facing the Bruins again. Because we know the Bruins just kind of like eat their lunches. Or, if Satan does it.
Here, let me do it. I like watching Leafs fans panic because we all know they haven't won shit since 1967. They've only won one round since the 90s, for fuck's sakes. And now you go up against the Boston Bruins team who was, once again, better than you in the regular season. The Bruins went 4-0 against the Leafs. And now all Leafs fans are whining and crying because they don't have home ice advantage. They're going against a team that keeps beating them. And it's funny for Satan to watch the reaction. I drink all their tears. They're salty tears. I lick them off their face like. Satan enjoys it all. Satan enjoys the flavor.
I just can't wait to see who the Oilers play. One, personally, if I'm being selfish, I want them to play Vegas because that means I will be traveling to Vegas and I'll just probably have a better time there. So. Maybe. We'll see. I'll have a good time in LA either way. So we're going to get an answer probably tomorrow. I guess it will be tomorrow. Not probably tomorrow. It will be tomorrow. Though I am still annoyed about the schedule, but I will save that for the righteous sack beating because we don't know when the Oilers playoffs are going to kick off because they're the only team left in the NHL. Hang on.
With two games left.
Why? schedule is. Coyotes tonight, and then a lot of travel to Colorado for a meaningless game tomorrow. I'm expecting no one to play tomorrow, but we'll see what happens, of course. And that is where we wrap up the news. The news is brought to you by Star Mechanical, Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating business. 24/7 emergency services. Their team of tradespeople are highly skilled and are accommodating for their customers. Visit starmechanical.ca and get them in your house and keep it running smoothly. You got it? Of course you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to snuggle! Better late than never.
You want to see a man, boy? I'll show you a man. Kick me in the jimmy.
The Righteous Act beatings for Trilogy Oil-Filled Rentals. Of course, Trilogy Oil-Filled Rentals are an established provider of tools and expertise across multiple oil field disciplines, specializing in rentals, pipe recovery, abandonments, and completions. Currently, they maintain full-time operating units in Provost, Weyburn, and Kindersley. What kind of tools do they have? Well,
rental tools, fishing tools, coil tools, drilling tools, mills and bits, completion tools, any tool for any job. TrilogyRentals.ca.
What bothers me this week? Well, I saw a tweet from my boy Bruce McCurdy over at the Edmonton Journal, and it kind of annoyed me too after I was thinking about it. And I quote, this is from Bruce, with 2 days left in the NHL season, 13 teams have already completed their schedule. 18 teams have one game left. One team has two games left. It is the Edmonton Oilers with significant travel in between a back-to-back set. NHL, I know. Why not move up the start of the playoffs while teams are still playing regular season games? What is this, the COVID campaign when Calgary and Vancouver were playing their whatever long after the playoffs had started? Come on. I'm with Bruce. And it's annoying because we're trying to book, and this, just bear with me while I'm complaining about this. If it goes off the rails, I've got a guest rage sack beating anyway. I'll just switch over to that one. The schedule annoys me because we're trying to plan our travel. And there's no indication. We talked to Frank Saravalli this morning. We just said, hey, man, is there any idea when the Oilers are going to play? Like, any idea? It's either Sunday or it's Monday. Well, I don't know if you guys have tried to book travel lately. Not knowing what the city is, number one, that's a problem. Two, when you don't know what the dates are, we're going to potentially run into a situation like we were last year where we have to shuffle the dates around to fit around the NHL schedule. I don't understand why we have to wait this long. I don't understand why the Oilers had six games in their last 9 days, but that's where they're at. And then I see a tweet from Bruce talking about significant travel between a back-to-back game for the Oilers. Tomorrow's might as well be a scheduled loss in Colorado. Could they just come home and just forfeit the game? We don't care. Connor already got his 100th assist. Does it matter anymore? I don't know. I don't understand the schedule, how so many teams can, half the league is done. A bunch have one game left, and then there are the Oilers with two. So now, all I hope is that the Oilers get a little bit of extra rest after just this crazy end to the schedule that they get. Whether it's Sunday or Monday that they kick off their postseason, it almost doesn't matter because they're still playing these ridiculous games while everybody else is done. You got a team like the Nashville Predators, they're going to be waiting a week until they play their first playoff game because they're done. I don't understand what the NHL is doing. They want to get the playoffs going. I get it. They want it to get going on Saturday night. I understand that too. Well, maybe have some consideration of your playoff schedule when you're putting together your regular season schedule. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. Here I am complaining and annoyed about the Oilers' schedule on their behalf. Is Darryl Cates complaining about this? I hope he is. He should be. Anyway, that's what's bothering me this week.
You want to see a man, boy? I'll show you a man. Kick me in the jimmy.
The other thing, I also have a guest Righteous Sack beating. I don't know from whomst. So we will just press play and we'll see how we do.
Mate.
Yes.
I've got a problem.
All right. We got Dukes checking in. Dukes, not Dukes. Checking in. Righteous Sack beating. I'm going to give you this, Dukes.
You want to see a man, boy? I'll show you a man. Kick me in the jimmy.
For Trilogy Oilfield Rentals, we got Dukes with a guest Righteous Sack beating.
Mate, I've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the steak you hear
cooking in the background. That's the least of my problems.
That sounds wonderful.
It's actually the opposite of a problem. It's just going to be delicious. But my problem comes from a quandary, right?
Go ahead. Let me help you out.
And I feel I'm not the only one in this quandary.
All right.
Okay.
Let's figure it out.
I'm in a position where...
Man, you got 30 seconds of lead up here. I'm going to give you an honorary righteous sack beating just for the lead up. Come on, man. Let's get to it. Dukes, you got this, buddy.
I have no authority, but I'm going to, you know, pretend I am an authority anyway. Yeah.
37 seconds.
Take McMullet, right?
All right.
He's obviously the undisputed king of Oilers fandom. Right?
Driving
There's
in and
no
out from
question
Strathmore.
About it at this point.
Driving in and out from Strathmore. We've gone through the McMullet math, the McMath, as we call it. No doubt his commitment to the Oilers is second to none.
But my problem is, given he is McMullet, mm-hmm. you know, and his name and persona goes off, you know, the hairdo.
Yep.
Which is fantastic, by the way. Cannot floor it. But no faults at all.
12 out of 10, I'd say.
But I just worry that once we put the crown on his head, it's going to actually hide the mullet, like physically hide the mullet. So
have you seen McMullet? If you haven't seen him recently, he's got some red and orange in the top part of the hair. The business part of the mullet has got some hair dye in it, and then he's got the flow down the back. So I think what Dukes is saying here is that a big part of the show that comes with the do is the coloring that goes in the business end of the mullet on top. I think that's what Dukes is saying here.
How do we get around, you know, being able to crown him without the crown hiding the fucking mullet?
I've got an idea. May I suggest not so much a crown, but rather a tiara? Would that be acceptable? Because then it kind of goes around the forehead almost, leaves a lot of the hair intact. Or perhaps those crowns that Julius Caesar used to wear that were made out of those like palm leaves or whatever the fuck, you know, have it going around the back of the head and ending in the front, not only displaying the business, the colored business up top, but rather highlighting it. And accentuating it even. Thoughts?
Because he is a king and he deserves it, but also the mullet needs to be shown.
Now, Dukes, the message is finally over. I don't know that that is a righteous sack beating. And I don't know that Trilogy Oldfield Rentals feels like you're upset enough. So while I will give you the button, Dukes, I do believe that this message was improperly labeled. We do love McMullet, though.
You want to see a man, boy? I'll show you a man. Kick me in the jimmy.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Bagged Milk. And you're listening to Better Late Than Never with Bagged Milk. Now go and buy a fucking car from Alfa Romeo Edmonton. I'll find where you live and shit in your fucking letterbox.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Of course, I bought a Bronco from our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giants. So do go buy a Stelvio from the fine folks at Alfa Romeo of Edmonton, though. I will say that. The voicemail is brought to you by Duragard Fence Limited. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company here in Alberta that can do it all, it is Duragard Fence Limited. For 37 years, they've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment. 37 years worth of experience is what you get with our friends at Duragard Fence Limited. They are proud sponsors of the voicemail. We're going to kick it off with a message from Nate. A message from Nate. This one came in a week ago, so probably just after I recorded the last episode. Nate, your thoughts.
So I was just listening to last week's episode. I totally forgot that I was going to say something about my experience at the Saddle Dome. We all know the Saddle Dome is garbage. They need a new arena. Everybody knows that.
But are you doing this while you're driving, Nate? Is your signal light on or are those four-way flashers? What's going on here? I'm distracted.
What I will say about the Saddle Dome is their food is actually really good.
It
and
is.
The prices are not that bad. If
no.
you're comparing it to Rogers Place, they're definitely way better. We all know how bad Rogers Place food and drink prices are. And honestly, when I go to a game in Edmonton, I like avoid buying food. I'll get a drink, but I don't want to spend those prices. I'll go out to eat before the game.
Totally.
It's way more affordable for me to do that, and I'm sure that is for a lot of people, but
most
yeah,
people.
Saddle Dome, it's a dump, but their food is good. That's what I will say about the Saddle Dome.
And you know what? I agree with Nate. I've had plenty of nights at the Saddle Dome over the years, and one thing I will say is after you take that hike up to the press level, if you're sitting in the nosebleeds, you get hungry. It is probably 3,000 stairs straight up to go to the Saddle Dome and get up there. So you get hungry when you're in there. And what I will say is their concession prices are totally reasonable. And they also have a lot of like in-game couponing that they do from some of their sponsors where they'll be like, here's a coupon, go get yourself a free burger or something like that. I've been there twice and gotten that kind of stuff. So Nate, I agree. Well, you do have to fear for your life and pieces of falling Saddle Dome. You got to watch out. You got to be vigilant. Keep your head on a swivel. What we will say and what I will confirm and guarantee or confirm for my boy Nate there is that concessions, reasonable. Specifically for the food. Ari, you're up.
Okay. Right off the rip. One take. I'll try and do one take.
All right, Ari. We believe in you.
So last week I sent in voicemails with a girl.
You did, and a lot of people did. Anyway, I'm going to let you get to it, but it almost sounded like it was a recording of you playing a recording of a girl. I'm not saying you don't know that girl. It just sounded like you got her to have canned answers, and you played them into the voicemail.
And Satan said it wasn't real. Well,
right.
It was. It was real. It was over the phone. It was. She wasn't in the room or anything. And I was doing a bit towards the end there. It was dog shit.
That's right. Satan was right. She was a girl, but she wasn't there with you, Ari. This is one of those situations like, my girlfriend goes to another school and you can't meet her. Not even on the weekend. She's busy. She's volunteering at a soup kitchen. That's what it sounds like to Satan, Ari.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. if I see her, which I might, maybe I'll do a voicemail with her.
Yeah, I would like an in-person. I do appreciate trying to execute an over-the-phone voicemail with a third party. I do appreciate that, Ari. I would like to hear from this young lady. I've got questions.
And I'll label it as that, so just so you know. I'm a bit scared, BM.
Go ahead.
I've come to really like this girl, and I'm saying that as insert government name here, not as Ari. So
here's the thing, Ari. If you're starting to like the girl, treat her well, man. I'm talking about gestures. I'm not saying just like you saying, oh, babe, you're hot. Say that from time to time, but like gestures. Hold the door. Give her a little, a soft touch, a little contact at appropriate moments. Perhaps you could hold her hand. Perhaps you could buy her a gift. Perhaps you could send her just a friendly note just to say hello. I'm not saying simp. Don't be simping. You don't got to be like, oh, good morning, beautiful. I hope you have the greatest day ever. I'm not talking about that. Let her know she's on your mind. let her know what you're thinking. If there's one thing I've learned about being turned down by so many human women over the years, is that if you don't say something, they'll never know. They'll just never know. This next voicemail comes in from Ari as well, and it says, Ari, very important. I'll be the judge of that.
So yeah, this one's important. You're going to want to listen to everything that I have to say.
I really were off on a good start here, Ari. Satan's feeling antsy, and Satan wants to interrupt you. Let's see what you got.
Please. So I'm heading home. I'm going back home to India pretty soon. So really? You're probably not going to hear from me for a very long time.
No way. Really? Going back to India? Aren't you even in school? I've got questions now. I wish I was interviewing you at this point.
That's why I made the new bumper for you, just so I could be on the podcast in some way. please delete the old one that I made. It's awful. Yeah. I definitely won't be able to send voicemails.
Why not?
That much I know for sure.
Why not?
But you know what? While I'm there, I'm going to...
As far as I know, they do have the internet in India. I had a friend who was just there on a business trip, and he was sending me all kinds of things on Instagram. Ari, I need you in the voicemail, Ari.
Repping BLTN. I'm going to tell everyone about how awesome the podcast is and how awesome you are, Bag Milk.
Thank you.
My last voicemail would probably be the one with the girl, if I end up doing that. My predictions for the playoffs, the boys are going to score a hell of a lot more this year. McDavid, Draisaitl, Nuge, they're going to be absolute god killers this year. And the Edmonton Oilers, they're going to win the Stanley Cup, Bag Milk. That is my prediction. And one last thing. I'm Zol, the Will of Thousands. Thanks, Bag Milk. I love you. See you soon. Take care.
Number one, I knew he was Zol, the Will of Thousands. The cadence in his voice is what gave it away. We all knew it was the cadence in his voice. The delivery was the exact same, despite the fact that there was a voice enhancer on it. This is driving Satan nuts. Of course, you were Zol, the Will of Thousands.
Honestly, though, Ari, I'm going to... How long are you going to India for? Like, forever? Aren't you going to school? I've got so many questions. You can still send voicemails from India. You can still download and listen to the podcast in India. I mean, fuck, how long is that plane ride? It's got to be 14, 15 hours, depending on what, you know, what kind of stops you got. That's 13 episodes. Pack them all in on the flight. Bring them me with you. I would like this to be the biggest Oilers podcast in India. That is my goal now that you're going there, Ari. I wish I had, like, when do you leave? I've got so many questions. Don't leave us, Ari. We need you in the voicemail.
You can leave Zol, Will of Thousands in India, though. That was a bit that went on a very long time, and we knew it was you, Ari. We knew it was you.
Ari, sad news. It is important, that message. Now I'm a little bummed out. Ari did submit a bumper. He told me to delete the old one, which, you know, I might. If you're not listening to the podcast, you won't know if I play it or not. But here's the new one. Ari bumper before he leaves on a, you know, on a trip.
You're listening to Better Late Than Never with Bagged Milk. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, a rating would be really appreciated. It helps it out. Thanks for listening. You're an awesome person. And whatever you do, do not listen to Satan. He gives bad advice.
I do not.
It's a nice bumper, Ari. I'm going to move this here. We're going to do a little live producing. That is now on the bumper bar. You are there, Ari. You are there. Let me see here. I don't know if I want to do this, but I might here do this. I'm going to try this here, and I'm going to put this phone on speakerphone, and I'm going to tell David Quadrelli that I'm recording Better Late Than Never, and you are checking in during the voicemail as an impromptu guest. David Quadrelli, welcome to the show.
So I knew you would be doing Better Late Than Never, and I intentionally called be hopefully put on the show, and I'm glad I am. So Harmon and I did Canucks conversation today. The Vancouver Canucks clinched the Pacific Division. I'm not sure if you heard. And we were trying to find when the last time the Edmonton Oilers did that. They clinched the division title. This is 1987.
Yeah.
How have we not talked about this? I've been your friend for years. We've, you know, exchanged barbs back and forth about the team. How has it never been brought up that the Edmonton Oilers have not won a division title since 1987?
I mean, like, from my perspective, you've just never asked me. I would have told you.
That's the longest streak in North American sports.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is wild. It's like one of those ones where, like, in the past few years, too, And I'm doing this off the dome quads, but like in the past 2 years, the Oilers have finished second the last two or three seasons, and they've always been behind the division leader by like 2 or 3 points every time. It's just kind of like they're right there, and it just never gets that last win or two. I was even going through during the news segment of the podcast, I was just talking about, you know, last night Vancouver clinched the division against Calgary because, well, first of all, Calgary's never going to stand in anybody's way. They should be relegated, in my opinion. But yeah, it just kind of goes to those four losses to the Canucks. That's the Oilers' division loss right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, yep.
So it's one of those weird streaks where the Oilers have had some really, really good teams, especially since, you know, about 2019, but they've never been able to just cross that one line where they get the division as well. It's always a point, 2 points, 3 points behind the leader. It's wild to watch.
I know I'm asking you off the cuff, but what's the most, I don't want to say disappointing, but what's the most like shocking one? Like you were like, okay, it's right there. They're going to do it. Like, in other words, did they ever like choke away a division title in that time?
The most shocking one to me undoubtedly is this year because of the way the team started. The Oilers started off at like 2-9-1 or something like that. It was something stupid like that. And you just look at that kind of record, and the fact that they ended up within a handful of points of Vancouver for second place in the division is remarkable. But you kind of go, the wildest one to me is the fact that they essentially took 2 months off to start this season and then climbed all their way back to second place. That's wild to me. Even just that they have home ice in the first round of the playoffs is significant given how they started.
But isn't there like a reverse of that where they started the season super well? Like there must be, we're going back to 1987. There must have been a year where they started super well and then like choked their way right on the finish line.
Well, there was a bunch of those. Not so much choke their way to the finish line, but there was other ones where it was kind of like, think about like Hall, Pajarvi, Nugent, early Nugent Hopkins. Like think of that era of yeah. Oilers. They had some seasons in there where they started off like 6-0-2, 7-0-2. Like you're like, oh fuck, here we go. And then they would somehow miss the playoffs. So the Oilers haven't really had one where they were leading, and then they kind of pissed away the division. They've just been kind of the reverse where it's trailing, and then they get within, you know, within arm shot.
I really thought the Canucks were gonna choke away the division at the last second. Like I really did. But then once they won that game on Saturday against the Oilers, I was like, okay, they're going to get it done because Calgary sucks and should be relegated.
Yeah, to me it was kind of like once Connor missed the game against Vegas, and I know the Oilers won that game against the Golden Knights, but like once Connor missed that game and they were kind of like, well, he may not play against Arizona on the Friday. He may be questionable on Saturday against the Canucks. I just kind of like didn't really think about the division as much anymore. It was just kind of my first thought was, one, are they going to lock in home ice? They did do that for the first round, at least. Two, can he just be healthy? Because the rest of the rest doesn't really matter. Like I'm even thinking about tonight's game against the Coyotes. I'm interested because it's the last ever Coyotes game. But tomorrow they've got a game, a back-to-back situation with Colorado tomorrow. And I could not give two fucks less about tomorrow's game, like at all.
No kidding. The Canucks play the Jets tomorrow, and like we were talking today about how there's literally no point to watch it, and that if the Canucks could forfeit the game, they absolutely should. The last time an NHL game was forfeited was the Montreal Canadiens in 1955. The fans rioted, so like I was trying to speak to our Vancouver audience quite a bit today, that the last time there wasn't a game or a game was forfeited was because the home team's fans were rioting about the suspension for Rocket Richard in 1955 because the NHL president was visiting at the time. So, like, this city knows how to riot.
Yes,
right?
You do.
So I just threw it out there. But, again, you don't really have anything to riot about right now. So, I don't know. I was just saying, like, basically, the playoff math for the Canucks, and all of this is irrelevant if the Dallas Stars beat the St. Louis Blues tonight. Or hell, even if the Dallas Stars lose in overtime, it's all irrelevant. But if the St. Louis Blues beat the Dallas Stars tonight in regulation, and then the Canucks beat the Winnipeg Jets, they win the Western Conference, and then they get to play Vegas in round one, or L.A., whoever doesn't end up as the third seed in the Pacific.
Well, that's
so you won. You want a Nashville. You want Nashville.
That's an interesting situation, too, because earlier in the podcast, as I was working through the news, I was talking about how for the Oilers, they've got two games left. They don't matter at all. They can't move up. They can't move down. It really doesn't matter apart from, like, let's just make sure everybody gets through healthy these next two games. But
yeah,
Vegas is currently a single point up on LA. So they are currently, if everything ended today, the Oilers would play Vegas. Their last game of the season is against Anaheim. And LA's last game of the season is against Chicago. So if both teams win, it's Oilers-Vegas. If LA wins, Vegas loses, it's Oilers-LA. If they both win, it's Oilers-Vegas. So, like, we're still waiting to see who's going to end up where. And as you just mentioned, like, the Canucks opponent could vary wildly over the next couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know if it's Nashville. We're all hoping it's Nashville. Like, I don't know if you've looked at Nashville's lineup lately. It's bad, man. Like, Mark Jankowski's on the second line. He played 32 games in the NHL this year.
I'm pretty sure the Calgary Flames said, or what was that guy's name? Feaster. Jay Feaster
John
said.
Weisbrug.
Jay Feaster said he was going to be the best player from that draft class. That was the 2012 NHL draft, Mark Jankowski. Thank you.
John Weisbrod had a really similar statement about that. And then he was working for the Flames at the time. And then, like, he was the one that drafted Mark Jankowski in the first round when he was projecting one of, like, the third round. And then he came over to the Canucks and absolutely ruined the Canucks along with Jim Benning.
Of course, we are working through the voicemail here for our friends at DuraGuard Fence. David Quadrelli from CanucksArmy.com chiming in with an impromptu pop-in on the podcast. Quads, we talked about this yesterday on the phone, and I feel like we should loop in the podcast audience. Who do you feel is the worst team in the playoffs? Because yesterday I said it was LA on the phone because I think their goaltending is trash. But then as I'm looking at the standings today and some of the matchups are kind of getting set, I forgot about Washington and their minus 37 goal differential.
Let's change the question to, aside from Washington, who is the worst team in the playoffs? Because, like, that Eastern Conference, I don't even call it a race. Like, that Eastern Conference, like, vomit session down the final stretch of the season where nobody wanted to win games back-to-back, so it was close all the way down. Like, Washington's the worst team. We know that. But who's the worst team aside from Washington? I don't think it's L.A. I think it's Nashville. And I'm putting Roman Josi on my Norris Trophy ballot. He's somewhere on there. I think he might even be number two. He's probably number two on my Norris Trophy ballot this year. But there are so many flaws up and down that roster, and I know that their defense and goaltending has been good and will be good in the playoffs, but the style that Andrew Brunette plays, like, it didn't work in Florida, right? And we had a guy named Bruce Boudreau out here in Vancouver who we saw and we've seen for years not be able to coach teams in the playoffs, right? And the big thing that Canucks management didn't like about Boudreau was the lack of structure that they play with. They play a run-and-gun style. It's going to work in the regular season, but I think Nashville is the worst opponent or the worst team in the playoffs aside from Washington. I'm going to say Nashville.
What do you think about Toronto-Boston? Because I think it's hilarious. Last night I was cruising around on Twitter, and I was having a good chuckle about Leafs fans already preemptively panicking about playing the Bruins.
Well, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday because it wasn't set before last night, and we were talking about, okay, it's either going to be Florida or it's either going to be Boston. So the Leafs are getting bounced in the first round. Like, there's no question in my mind now. It's happening. They're getting bounced in the first round. They have no chance. I hope it goes to seven games. So I think that'd be great. But they're going to lose in the first round. Boston, like, Boston's maybe, like, not the strongest team per se, but they're going to be hungry after what happened last year when they had that historically great season only to get bounced in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be a hungry team. I would not want to match up against them.
No, nor would I. I want to reverse the question to you that we were just talking about. Like, take the Canucks out, and I'm going to take the Oilers out. Who do you think is the best team in the playoffs?
Well, even if you gave me the Canucks, I would not say the Canucks. Like, I have trouble saying the Rangers, and I also have trouble saying the Carolina Hurricanes. And hell, even like Colorado, who would be my pick, like, Colorado's bottom six sucks. Like, it's bad. And I know they made some really savvy additions at the deadline that basically gave them a third line that actually works. So, Like, it might be Colorado. I lean towards Dallas or Colorado. I think it's going to be a Western Conference team that wins the Cup this year. And honestly, Colorado, Dallas are probably, like, tied for number one, number two for me. There's no one in the East that I'm like, yeah, that's the team that's going to be a monster in the playoffs. I don't think there's anyone.
I'm with you. Even though the Rangers won the President's Trophy, I still think it's Dallas. If Ottinger can heat up a little bit, and he had a relatively mediocre season by his own standards, if he can heat up, they are going to be a handful, whoever faces them.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, man, like Dallas, you look at their secondary scoring, right? Like Wyatt Johnson has basically extended their competitive window for years. Like having impact guys, and this is a conversation that's happening in Vancouver right now, is like, they didn't want to trade Lekkerimäki and Willander, their top two prospects, because you look at a team like Dallas, who, hey, you know what? They have some bad money on the books at this stage with Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. Like, that's not great money to have on the books. But those guys are now not your top contributors, because you've got these guys in, like, Thomas Harley, who's been a legit top four guy for them, and Wyatt Johnson, who's been a really good middle six center. Those guys coming in and making impacts on ELCs, that's how you're going to compete in the cap era, right? Yeah. And like with the flat cap that we've seen in recent years, like they're a really interesting team for me. And that's the team that, like, if you're looking at from a Canucks perspective, how are the Canucks going to be able to be competitive beyond just this year? That's kind of the model, right? Is like, you need your guys to hit. Like, you need these guys to hit when they're on ELCs or when they're on like lower cost deals.
100%. Quaz, I'm going to continue on with the DuraGuard Fence voicemail. Any final thoughts for Better Late Than Never listeners, please?
I can't believe it's been since 87. I'm still rooting for the Oilers, and man, a second round matchup between the Canucks and Oilers would make me very, very happy. It'd be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun, and it'd be also good for business. There goes David Quadrelli, Editor-in-Chief of the Nation Network, Managing Editor of CanucksArmy.com. See you later, Quaz. For our friends at DuraGuard Fence, a little impromptu guest, my boy Quads. Let's get back to the voicemail. Still a bunch to do.
Right. So as with most of my good ideas, I've obviously just fucking copied it off someone else.
Sure. But, I mean, we all do that.
Like, I love McMullet's idea of, you know, fans can't quite travel to Edmonton, you know, from south. They can go to Calgary, Greta, to watch parties with him. I thought that's a great idea. So what I'm going to offer is all the other Oilers fans that live in Dysart in central Queensland, because I know there's 1,000 of us, feel free to come to my house for those games. Although, however, I have just accepted a new job that's actually back on site. So I won't be working from home, which means I'll have to try and listen to games on the sly.
You could just go hang out at Dukes' house anyway, though, whether or not he is there or at work. Just hang out there, drink his beers, play with his dogs. They're very cute.
So if you do come around for a watch party at my place,
just know I may not be there.
I probably won't be home. So you can just, I don't know, sit in the driveway and listen to the radio call on the NHL app or something. But also, I don't want, you know, vagabonds just hanging out in my driveway. So probably don't fucking do that either. Actually, you know what? Just stay at home. all you thousands of Oilers fans in Dysart, Central Queensland, just stay at home and, I don't know, send me a tweet. Anyway, can't wait for playoffs, even if I'm going to miss them. Play the Bomber, baby. Let's fucking go Oilers.
I still think you should go to Dukes' house, whether or not he's there. He will give out his address on Twitter and a credit card number that you can use to buy refreshments, courtesy of Dukes. Thoughts? Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me.
I wish I was still on the phone with you. I had such a good time during that interview. Thank you for letting me on the show.
Fuck. You know, I hate to sigh in utter despair, especially on this podcast, but I feel like I'm out of options. You know, we wasted so much of the off season trying to, you know, help Ari. Yeah, not to help him, just so he'd fucking leave us alone. But now he's finally figured out that, you know, women who earn money through OnlyFans, you know, you can send them money and they will say, you know, you can do custom videos and they'll say whatever you want, I guess, for the right price. And so now he's found out how to get women to say things online. He's literally getting them to say things for the voicemail. So, like, no matter what we do with this man, he's just going to put, like, we're just going to have to enjoy. Like, when I, you know, 10 years ago, when I chose a hockey team to annoy my friends, I didn't sign up for this shit. And I don't know, man. I'd rather lose to the Flames. I would have rather lost that round two to the Flames fucking 4-0 than listen to another one of his voicemails with anything to do with relationships and women. So please, for fuck's sake, mate, whatever you do, I don't know, go microwave a sock or something, brother, and just lay off speak pipe. Go lay some pipe, not on speak pipe.
See, Ari, when you go to India, you better still listen to the podcast, because how else would you hear advice like that from Dukes? Come on, man. Ben, where have you been?
What's up? It's your non-consistent 15-year-old. Just wondering how stuff is going.
Things are going well, man.
I've been a bit sick the last few days.
You sound a little beat up, Ben. You sound like you need a Neo Citroen.
Weeks, and been really busy. Like, I was on a trip to Maui for 10 days, and then got back and then went to Montreal for a school trip.
Nice.
So, for a week, and that's part of the reason I haven't been voicemailing, but also just really busy. Like, to be honest, I haven't been listening to the podcast at all. I haven't really had time, but Oilers with a nice little win over Vegas. What do you think? Do you think we can get the top spot in the division? I think so, personally.
Ben, that message was troubling. That message was troubling because I feel like you need to be taking care of yourself, not leaving voicemails to me when you're ill. I just want you to get better, buddy. Do I think the Oilers can win the division? Yep. Did Vancouver clinch it? Yeah, also yes. Also yes. This one comes in from Nate. We are continuing on the DuraGuard Fence Limited voicemail.
Well, I guess the Coyotes are moving.
They are.
It's kind of sad for me.
It is sad.
I would probably consider the Coyotes my second favorite team. I got family down in Phoenix. They all play hockey, and I've been to quite a few games down there, so... The Coyotes kind of have a special place in my heart, but I know it is for the better. The Coyotes management, honestly, terrible. Poorly run. They should have got a building a long time ago. They never should have built a building down in Glendale where they played before the mullet. That's just stupid. But I guess they're moving to Utah, so it's the end of an era for the Coyotes.
It is.
So... let's see how Utah does now.
Last game ever for the Coyotes franchise. Well, at least until their owner brings back another team to Arizona within the next 5 years. Coyotes, 28 years in the desert. I learned this morning. I actually didn't know this. In the game notes, Jason Greger wrote ahead of tonight's game against the Coyotes, they actually spent more time in Arizona than the Jets 1.0 franchise did in Winnipeg. Did you know that? I thought that was a little interesting note from Greger today in the game notes. It is sad, though. Like, it's a bummer they couldn't make it work. Again, I said it earlier when I was in Mullet Arena back in February. You kind of look around, you go, yeah, this isn't going to work. There's, you know, 4,500 seats in here. It's not going to work. And it's not a surprise that it didn't, but doesn't mean it's not a bummer. You know, 28 years is a long time. Auston Matthews is one of the best goal scorers in the NHL, and it's because he watched the Coyotes growing up. So totally sad. It's a bummer. But like you said, we'll see how Salt Lake City goes. I know there's plenty of folks that are going to be excited in Utah to watch the NHL come to their state. Up next, Anonymous, who be you?
There are only four meats. Beef, pork, lamb, and chicken. Yes. No infiltration this weekend. No. Because everyone knows there are only four meats. And... the suggestion for fifth meat shall go down in history. Never happened. Never happened. Four meats. Beef, pork, lamb, chicken. Yes.
Of course, last week, Donkey Volley and Lil Donkey Volley, his daughter, were arguing about how many meats there are. I don't know where that comes from, but I'm into it. I'm into it. Duraguard Fence, you into it? Whoops.
We are absolutely into it. I am a representative of Duraguard Fence.
Thank you. Another anonymous voicemail. I'm going to guess this one's also probably from Donkey Volley.
Ah, what a load of old crap. Sorry about 2 weeks ago. The worst news ever. Loved it a bit. Anyway, bollocks.
You don't got to say sorry, man. Again, I appreciate that you reached out in a time where you're not feeling your best, and that I hope you got some support for it, too. Don't apologize for it, Donkey Volley. Not one time ever.
Jeez, egg. Yes, box. Jeez, egg. That's an interesting scenario. Donkey cooking on ice. Donkey cooking on ice. Bollock cheese egg. What the what? Don't even like egg, cheese, or bollocks. I'm not a fan of bollocks, I've got to say. Well, I have two of my own, but that's not good. Full love to the trans people out there. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's not my thing. Anyway, where are we going with this? Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah. So, thanks for putting up my shite for the last God knows how many years. And yeah, here we go. Get fucked. We're gonna do more. Anyway, get stuffed. You absolute gorgeous bellends.
I don't know a single word you just said. I know they were all in English, and individually I can probably track what they all mean, but all together in a sentence or in a 1 minute and 10 second voicemail, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Part of the joy of when Donkey Volley leaves me voicemails, I try to guess. It's like an adventure. So pick your own adventure with Donkey Volley. Whether or not you understand it, that's completely up to you. Nick, you are up.
Kate, Big Milk, this isn't news at all, but the Arizona Coyotes are maybe, potentially,
they're moving.
Probably. Moving to Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I really didn't give a fuck. The only reason I cared is you saw that report that the Oilers might be moving to the Central if that happens. I don't want that to happen. Fuck that.
So I talked to Frank Saravalli about that, and there will be no realignment with the Coyotes moving to Salt Lake City. There will be no realignment. Everything will kind of stay as is. So saith Frank Saravalli. And if he's wrong, take it up with him, not me. Thank you. Whoops, forgot to press the button.
Does it really work when you already told us it's you, Ari? You already confessed and now you're coming back. Satan doesn't have time for this. And then you're saying Ozzie McMullen hater. You're making us think it's Dukes and really it's just Ari being Zol the Will of Thousands again. Come on.
This is a message to McMullen. How dare you disrespect Zol the Will of Thousands? That is tough talk coming from you. Especially since I know a voicemailer on this podcast got the second base with your daughter, Brooklyn.
Oh, come on. Come on. I'm not bringing children into this. Give me a fucking break. What's wrong with you? High Plains Drifter, you're up.
Okay, Big Milk, you know how Ari last week left a voicemail with a girl?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, you were pretty sure that that girl didn't exist.
That's right.
It was actually like some recording.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually scrolling through TikTok the other day, and I came across the exact fucking video. The girl saying, what are three things to make a guy happy? Fuck her good, feed her, keep her happy, whatever the thing was. But Ari only played half the video, and the rest of the video is just as funny. It might actually be funnier than the fuck her good thing. So, Ari, I don't know why you didn't play it, but I'm going to play it here because it's just as funny.
Let's see if this is actually legit here because I've got... this is just getting stupid now. God damn it, Nick. You got me. You know what? I will give you your flowers for that one. You got me. I walked right into it. Unbelievable. Continuing on the voicemail for Duraguard Fence Limited. Laird, what do you got to say?
Hey, Big Milk.
What's up, man?
I meant to send this one in a few weeks ago and just forgot about it.
But I hope the NHL figures it out for playoffs so their start time isn't like, what was that, the Colorado game or the Calgary game, where it starts half an hour after the set start time, or just about. That is annoying. I just wish the games would start within 5 minutes of the time. That I would be happy with that compared to like waiting 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's getting ridiculous how long start times take for a game.
Dude, we're not going to get it. I'm going to break the tough news to you now. We are not going to get it because the NHL cannot get out of their own way. Today, I watched the Blue Jays game, and the start time was at 1:07 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. By the way, the Jays did lose 6-4 to the Yankees. Fucking idiots. They gave up 5 runs in the 8th and the 9th innings. Unbelievable. But it said it started at 1:07. And guess what? The first pitch was at 1:07. Magic. I don't know why the NHL can't figure it out, but here we are.
Hey, Big Milk. I'm watching the Oilers-Sharks game. Mm. And Jack Michaels just said to Louis, well, have fun with your playoff sports coverage. And it's like, why can't Jack Michaels be our broadcaster? Like, why can't he be our Sportsnet broadcaster?
It's a fair question.
I really wish he could. I know there's a lot of people out there. And it's just that Jack Michaels does such a wonderful job and presents that excitement and like gets the crowd going at home.
Yep.
I don't know. I wish that Jack Michaels could do all of our playoff games.
I'm totally with you. I wish Jack was there the entire time. So if he's actually not doing any of the Oilers games, even if they're on the weekday, I'd be bummed out. That's not to say I don't like Harner Ryan Singh. I do. By the way, Harner Ryan, we've interviewed him plenty of times on the Real Life podcast. I've met him outside of the arena, and he's great. I like the way he calls games, but it's just Jack feels like home to me at this point. I remember thinking when Rod Phillips left, or I guess retired, because that was a while ago now. I remember thinking, man, whoever comes after Rod Phillips is really going to take a masterful broadcaster to fill those shoes. And over the 10, 11, I have no idea. I'm just guessing. Over the 10 plus years that he's been doing it, Jack Michaels is one of the best. My biggest concern, Laird, if I'm going to be honest with you, is, yeah, the playoff thing, we'll talk about that. And I'm sure we're going to discuss it as the playoffs go along. But my biggest concern is that Jack is so good at what he does, a big network is going to come and try and poach him. That is my big concern, because Jack Michaels is awesome. Next voicemail.
Mate. All right, eh? I've got a bit of a challenge for the listenership of Better Late Than Never, aka Lactation Nation. So I don't know. I said it somewhere. I think I said it Twitter that like I've actually accepted a new role within my company, which means that in a couple of weeks' time I'll be working from site again rather than working from home. Which career wise, awesome. Pay wise, fucking oath. You know, blah 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 blah.
Does that mean you're not coming here again? Where's that at? You paid a bunch of money to like a service to get you a visa, didn't you? Leave me an update on that. I'm curious.
It's obviously that I won't be able to just watch every Oilers game from home during work hours. You know, I'll have to sort of sneak an earbud in and listen to Jack and Robert Stoffer radio call when I'm not in meetings. But obviously this means I can't do the stickies after the games. For those of you who don't know, well, whatever, don't fucking worry about it. But I wanted to see if we could get the listenership, if we can get everyone else on my behalf, go out there, whether it's a win, whether we're celebrating, it doesn't matter what you're celebrating, a win, your favorite player scores a goal, you know, whatever. The rest of the listenership, I want to challenge you guys to do stickies after Oilers games and post them on Twitter and tag me in them. I don't know. I'm kind of bored of doing them anyway. But, you know, if we make it a bit of a group thing, fuck, who knows? Anyway, do it if you want. Don't if you don't. Play the bomber, baby. Let's fucking go.
I would love to have some kind of post-game celebration that the Better Late Than Never... I was gonna say the Lactation Nation. That's so fucking dumb. I would love if there was a post-game celebration we all did together. If anybody has ideas, I don't know if it's got to be a sticky. I have hockey sticks. I could do it, but I don't really want to. I'll drink, though. I will happily drink with you. If we can think of something that we can all do together to kind of celebrate wins, let's absolutely do that. Love the idea. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has left a voicemail. I'm sure it's actually him, of course. I can't play that. You know that, even though I want to. You know I can't play that. It's going to get flagged. Come on, man. Help me out. Kyle the Embalmer, you're up.
Hey, BM.
What's up?
So, there's only a couple games left in this year. They truly don't matter.
At all.
Standings-wise, but...
At all.
On a personal level, I'd like to see Connor play in these last two games because... At the beginning of this year, on my most used betting site, which I'm not going to name because they're not a sponsor and they also don't sponsor me. So, made a little wager, little betsky.
Yeah.
That old Connor McDee would get over 135 and a half points.
No, he's at 132.
And he's currently sitting at 132.
Mm.
So, you know, after missing three games... And then only getting in a goal and assist in a 9-goal game. yeah. I need Connor to go do Connor things for selfish reasons, of course, but that would be nice. Pretty well. I mean, playoff wise, I mean, reality is bring on Vegas most like, because I don't see them losing to Anaheim. And letting LA come back. So in the meantime, I think that'll be the best for us to exercise those demons in the first round. And let's go Oilers.
Well, you need 4 points in the last two games. There's a good chance that at least one or two or more could come tonight against the Coyotes. It's going to be interesting to see what the Coyotes, what it's like for them. I imagine that the players are going to be completely fucking rattled, you would think, right? Also, as I've been recording, it looks like the Oilers have recalled Adam Ernie and Sam Gagne to rest more of their regulars tomorrow in Colorado. So expect nobody playing tomorrow. So, Kyle, I'm sure that doesn't help you at all. I apologize. Part two of the message.
Hey, on a separate note, if you'll allow it, I'd like to make a little shameless plug.
Sure.
But I have decided this year I've joined the Million Reasons Run, which is a fundraiser for children's hospitals across the country. And, of course, near and dear to my heart is the Stollery. So the run is taking place in May, all of May. I've decided to pledge to run 1 kilometer for every $20 donation I receive up to about... 100K, and then after that, I think I'll kind of see where I'm at and how far I think I can actually go further. But
I am going to check my bank account, sir. You're going to run. I'm going to make you run. That's for sure.
I would love the support of anybody that would like to, you know, make a donation for me. You can.
How do we do it?
Look me up at Kyle the Embalmer on Twitter, and I have my page post pinned there. So, the reason I'm doing it, of course, is because both of my kids have spent some time in the Stollery. Not like anything major that you hear some of the stories about, but enough that I've seen the care that they give to these kids, and I'd love to always get back to them. So if anyone would like to help me out, by all means, that would be fantastic.
I will check my Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, Jazbeam Bag Milk, just check mine. I will also retweet Kyle's link if you want to make a donation, help him raise some money for the Stollery. Excellent cause. Finally, for DuraGuard Fence Limited, we got one more voicemail. This one comes in from Landlord Chad.
Okay, I'm going to do this in one, not four. I agree to let this lady move into my basement room. She's about 36. She's on H. I kind of vet people before I let them move in. So I asked her, hey, do you drink? Do you party? I don't. Like, is that going to be cool? Yep. Nope. I don't do any of that. Awesome. So she moves in while I'm at work on the first, and I get home and my house smells like smoke, Which isn't fucking happening. So I go down and I talk to her. I'm like, hey, like, you smoke? kind of misrepresented herself. This isn't going to work. Like, you could stay here a month. I'm not kicking you out, but we got to work something out. And I'm like, if you have somewhere to go, I can give your money back. She loses her fucking shit. And I'm like, hey, well, you know what? I was trying to work with you. Now you're being hostile. Now you can't stay here. So I move her back to her mom's house. I give her all her money back. And then the next day I'm getting messages threatening that she wants more money, threatening, saying that the guy that moved her in here, her boyfriend's a convicted murderer. He's going to come visit me if I don't give her more money. So I get the cops involved, and I talk to landlord and tenant board. And wow. I guess because I'm the landlord and I live there, it's considered shared accommodation, and she has no rights. I could kick her out at any moment. I tell her this, and she loses it even more. And for like over a week, she's threatening me nonstop. And she's stopped now, apparently. So we'll see. Just kind of waiting now.
Wow. That is an action-packed 90 seconds of voicemail with landlord Chad. That's one thing, like, I've contemplated, you know, maybe down the line, I'm going to potentially rent out the house I'm in right now, the townhouse I'm in, provided that, well, I have more than I do now. But that was one thing that always kind of stands in my way of potentially being a landlord, is dealing with this kind of situation. And I know there's plenty of people that rent from others uneventfully, but these are the stories that I go, ah, do I really want to deal with that hassle? I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, that's how we wrap up the voicemail. DuraGuard Fence, sponsor of the voicemail. 37 years worth of experience. The best professional fencing company here in Alberta. For more information and to request a quote on what they do, go to DuraGuardFence.ca. DuraGuardFence.ca. Find out why they've been the industry leader for nearly four decades. It was a long podcast today, almost an hour and a half worth of content for you. An impromptu check-in from Quads mid-voicemail. Thank you all for the voicemails. Thank you for chiming in. I appreciate you. We've got the playoffs coming up next week, everybody. So the next episode I do on the regularly scheduled side anyway is going to be a playoff episode, and I could not be more excited about it. I want to thank all of you for participating. I want to thank all of you for listening, and thank you to everybody who's been sending me pictures of themselves in their new BLTN hoodies. If you got one, I'm going to do another giveaway coming up here soon at some point during the playoffs. But until then, Tyler, give me them lips.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.